Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Oh, the CFB talks got me jazzed up for bowl season. We mentioned the college football playoff. Well, the teams that sort of come up in second in that regard, but teams that want to be playing for bigger and for more can get their chance to get some Bush's Baked Beans. That's right. The Boca Raton Bowl down in Boca has a new name. The Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. Thousands and thousands of ounces of baked beans will be present at Flagler Credit Union Stadium on December 23rd, 2 p.m. down in Boca. Join some two of the best teams from the group of five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. 2 p.m. It's going to be on ESPN and ESPN 106.3. You can read all of it, catch up to all of it on Twitter at Boca Bowl. All those great spots as we inch closer to that bowl season. That's the 2025 Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. Wow. Talk about that for a name of all names. I wonder how much beans each team is going to get for winning the bowl game. That's got to be the big sell, right? Got to be the big sell. Nonetheless, Damian Perez is behind the glass today. It's Colin Russo. No Mike Rizzo today. Live from the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. If you miss any of the program, go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Damian behind the glass today. Damian, how are you today, my friend?
Doing great. How you doing?
Not too bad. Let's bounce around. Let's have a little fun. Let's do a little 5 and 5 presented by Flagler Credit Union.
Five topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, baked ham.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number one.
The 49ers and the Panthers played last night in Monday Night Football, where the game ended 20-9 in a San Francisco win. Brock Purdy threw 3 interceptions and Bryce Young threw 2. Are the 49ers playoff-bound contenders in an NFC conference that's absolutely loaded?
They're going to be in the postseason, if I had to guess today. They're going to be one of those wild card spots. I think if there's going to be a team that's cut out, it'll be the NFC North side. But I don't think this team is good enough to win a playoff game. I don't. Why do I say that? They have offensive pieces. I actually think Brock Purdy, I could trust him in a big game. I love McCaffrey. I love Kittle. Trent Williams. They got a lot of stars. But defensively, I know they got Rob Saleh, who's, you know, pitching a good game, essentially. I don't know if they have consistently enough pieces to compete in a really tight environment. They've had a very easy schedule up to this point. They haven't played a lot of the brass in the NFC on the top end of things, partially because they had that last place finish last year with all the injuries. And I also don't trust Shanahan in a big game. Can you sue me? Can you blame me? I don't trust Shanahan in a big game. So from that perspective, I think this team will probably make the postseason total, but I think that's going to be the extent of their run. I'm not too high on their ability to win a playoff game. Damian, would you agree with me?
I agree. I mean, if you look at the defense, they're the last in the NFL in pressuring the quarterback and getting sacks.
They're dead last? Wow.
Dead last. They only had one last night against Bryce Young. Now, granted, they still won the game, but now there is something to be said. If your quarterback can throw 3 interceptions in a game and you can still win, there's something to be said about that.
Is that anti-Panthers or pro-49ers? Both.
I think it's 50-50.
Okay.
But I agree. I think if they do make the playoffs, they would probably be a first-round exit.
Number two.
Number two.
Thanksgiving matchup are absolutely loaded with implications. At 1 p.m., we got the Packers visiting the Lions. 4:30, the Chiefs will visit the Cowboys. And at 8:20, the Bengals will be playing the Ravens. Who has the most to lose out of these Thanksgiving matchups?
All right, so there's a couple options we could go here. Number one, Baltimore's already got the lead over Pittsburgh. I don't think Baltimore's the answer here. I don't. Baltimore can lose that game against Cincinnati, and they just still need to beat the Steelers once or twice to be in a good spot to finish off the division hot. So I actually don't think it's Baltimore here, despite them having the worst record of the bunch. There's a couple you could choose from. You could choose Kansas City, who are playing this game. They're 10th in the AFC at the moment. If they fall from 6-5 to 6-6 with a couple left to play, are they in a position here to make a postseason run? Yes, still, they're not dead. Cowboys, on the other hand, are sitting at 5-5-1. They're 10th also in the AFC and the NFC on the other side of things. And to finish off their schedule, they still have to deal with the Chargers. They still have to deal with the Lions. So they have a difficult enough schedule. Do I think that they have the most to lose on Thursday? I actually don't think so. The team that I think has the most to lose the rest of the way, because I think it's a demoralizing, damning loss, the Detroit Lions. I think if the Detroit loses at home to Green Bay and gets swept by the Packers, that is a major loss in terms of the division implications, because then with the Bears having the first place in the NFC North and the Lions not having a head-to-head over the Packers, then they're going to need help in terms of getting in to the postseason. They're going to need help. They don't have a head-to-head against the 49ers. I think the Lions have a lot to lose here. They're 8th in the NFC at the moment, and if they were to lose this game, that would make next week's game against the Cowboys absolutely must-win, because they get the Rams after that on the road. So the Lions, if they were to fall to 7-5, and then the Packers would, with a tie, keep in mind, so they already get the leg up, half a game leg up. Packers would move to 8-3-1, and the Bears would be 8-3. I know they're only, you know, things can change on a dime, but in terms of steering in the wrong direction, I would say this to the Lions here. Lions have not had a great couple of weeks. They had all the business in the world losing that Giant game. And they got fortunate with Jahmyr Gibbs' heroics. Lions lose this game, it's going to be hard to not finish third place in that division. It's going to be hard to. And I know they still got to deal with the Bears again. But outside of that, they got the Bears and the Vikings. That is it on their postseason, on their spots. Because they killed the Bears the first week. Maybe the Bears can split that last game of the year. That would be an implicating game. But if the Lions were to lose this, it's going to be hard not to be third in the NFC North. And I think that's a dangerous spot, because there's going to be three teams in the NFC West. And if there's going to be four teams total in those wild card race, the two in the NFC West and two in the North, one's going to have to get cut out. You can't be that if you're the Lions.
Especially in the NFC.
You can't be that if you're the Lions. Because the Seattle continues to win games. They're at 8-3. The Rams are probably the best team in the NFL at the moment. Seattle does not have as brutal of a schedule as Detroit does. And San Francisco is 8-4. And San Francisco has the Browns and the Titans next to.
And if you're the Lions, you want to split that tiebreaker against Green Bay.
100%. So I actually think the Lions have a lot to lose in this game if they were to drop that home game against the Packers, because they would lose that division series against Green Bay. Let's move on. What is number three?
Number three.
So I think we can both agree that Matt Stafford is the clear-cut favorite to win MVP this season with 30 touchdowns. I actually had to check that, make sure the number was right. 30 touchdowns this season and only 2 interceptions. Now, we all know the MVP award is kind of led by quarterbacks in the history of the league.
Yep.
Where do you stand with position players like JSN or Jonathan Taylor, who are having extraordinary seasons? Where do you stand with them winning the, or at least being considered for that MVP award?
I mean, yeah, let's think about this for a second. Jackson Smith-Njigba, he's averaging 119 yards a game. He's on pace to break that Megatron record of 1,900 yards. He's got 1,300 yards, he's got 7 touchdowns, he's got 80 catches with 6 games to go. So he's got every opportunity in the book to break that. On the other side of things, Jonathan Taylor's got 15 touchdowns and he leads the league in rushing. At what point do you start to go to Jonathan Taylor?
I think Jonathan Taylor is kind of doomed because of Saquon Barkley's season last year. If you don't give it to Saquon Barkley after the season he had last year,
now
it's tough to give it to
anyone
else. It's
also who you're competing with, too.
Yeah, that's true.
They were competing against Lamar, who had an amazing season, and Josh Allen, who had an amazing season and who was due.
Well,
Stafford's got that season locked up. He's probably the most important player on that team. And he's definitely playing the best of any quarterback right now around. He's playing better than May is, because he got a tougher schedule. So you got to give him that. But, I mean, at what point do you start to... Do those guys even get looks, right?
Are they considered?
If Smith-Njigba on a 11-win team breaks the receiving yards record, you're not even giving him a look? I know a receiver's probably never the most important player on a team. Or a running back, for that matter, when that team is a rushing offense. If Indianapolis wins 12 games, wins their division, He's not getting any look. Myles Garrett, I don't think so. That team's going to win five games, right. And he's going to have 25 sacks. And that's going to be it. And he's going to break that sack record, too.
Yeah.
But I just don't think there... If J.J. Watt didn't win it in 2014, I don't think there's a world where you could give it to a defensive player on a lackluster team. I don't. So, from that perspective, this is Stafford's to lose. He would need to have a bad two games would change everything. Stafford has two bad games in a row. I think people would start whispering about Jonathan Taylor.
Or, God forbid, an injury. Now it's wide open.
Right. But if he even has a bad two games, he's been playing perfect. If he has a bad two games, Smith, Jigba, and Taylor would start getting looks after that. What are we at right now? Number four?
Number four.
Tyler Hero returned to the Miami Heat last night after missing basically the entire season up to now. The Heat won 106-102 at the Kaseya Center against the Dallas Mavericks. Now, Norman Powell did not play in this game, but assuming when Norman Powell does come back, where do you stand with the projections of the Miami Heat this season getting Tyler Hero back?
Yeah, they're 12-6. They're 8-1 at home. They haven't been great on the road, but they've been great in every other situation in that building down at Kaseya Center in Miami. They're not doing pick and rolls. They're running gunning every team. Tyler Hero, 24 points, played well. They're clicking right now. And you got to give Eric Spoelstra credit because he said today in media availability that they were not afraid to gut the offense after what happened in the playoffs last year against Cleveland. They were not afraid to do that. And what they did get rid of is they got rid of a little stagnant offense, let your players make plays type of deal. And it's going to be a little bit more of a motion where you're moving constantly, run and gun. Does that work in the postseason? I'm not so sure. But we knew that certain teams would take advantage of a lackluster Eastern Conference on the bottom end of it. Who are those teams going to be? Well, they got three early contenders, and it's Detroit, the Heat, and the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, I got Raptors.
I got that over, by the way. Raptors.
Great pick.
36.5.
Wow.
36.5. Damian, we're in a good spot there. You know, another over I have, which I'm not happy about, is the Nets. They're 3-14. They need to go 29.
That's
21.
Rough.
21 games. Now, the good news is, if at any point in the season the Nets go on a four-game win streak, I'm back in the green. Three- or four-game win streak is all I'm looking for. But nonetheless, you knew there were going to be three or four teams that took advantage of a lackluster Eastern Conference, and it's Miami, Detroit, and Toronto to this point.
And you still got the Cavs in the mix, too.
Cavs and the Knicks are right there. The Atlanta, you know, you got decent teams. Orlando's going to be around. But those are the early contenders. It's too early to say if these teams would be dangerous in a playoff series. Memphis did this exact offense last year, and it really didn't work out for them towards the latter half. Sort of fell apart once Ja Morant wanted to change some things up. I'm not sure if that's going to happen to Miami, but Spoelstra is the best coach in the league. There's no doubt about it. I have to see a little bit more. Let's see how Hero completely adjusts to the offense, but at 12-6, 8-1 at home, I think he couldn't be happier if you're a Miami Heat fan right now. Number five.
We're just a few days away from Thanksgiving. What would you say is the most overrated part of said Thanksgiving?
I'm not big on desserts on Thanksgiving. I don't know if this is a hot take, if this is a cold take, but desserts, I think you could have without it. If you're hungry for desserts, I'm making room for dessert. I could always make
right,
room
for
desserts.
Yeah.
You save me the trouble. If you can make room for dessert, I think you did the dinner wrong.
Right.
You did it wrong. You
didn't maximize.
Your performance was incomplete. Now, I'm not to say I don't touch the dessert myself. I just have without it. Might have a brownie. Move on with my life. Nothing crazy. I'm not going to slice of apple pie it because I just, I handled dinner right. Yet your aunts and uncles saying, hold on a second. You're not having dessert. Colin, why not? Well, you guys did dinner a different way.
Called prioritizing.
Yeah, I had an understanding of what this evening entailed, and in three or four plates of food, Thanksgiving. You only get the Thanksgiving food once a year. You could have an apple pie whenever. You could have brownies, cookies, whatever. This Thanksgiving, that's about the entrees. You do it wrong. Am I wrong there? You do it wrong if you're trying to load up on desserts after dinner.
Yeah.
You're doing it wrong.
If you're saving yourself thinking about dessert, you're going to miss out on the entree.
You're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. Dead wrong. As in terms of overrated actual thing that's involved with the dinner itself, you know what I actually think is overrated? I'm going to stay out of the food for a second. Overrated, Turkey Day football games. In terms, not NFL, where you watch, Like, you know how people play the
like
turkey
with the
bowls?
With the cousins
turkey
and all
bowls?
That.
So overrated. So overrated. And I'm on a family of good athletes, good football players. Overrated. I can't listen. It's great when you're a kid. When you're growing up, I go to dinner, I go to Thanksgiving, we're in a, you're wearing a polo, you're wearing something decent.
You're going to get all sweaty in a polo?
Sweaty and gross? No. I think that's overrated. Now, that's a hot take. I know some people go to bat for their Thanksgiving Day football games with the family. I think you age out of that earlier than people would like to admit. I don't think you need to do an aggressive two-hand touch football game 12 o'clock when there's NFL football on. I think that's a complete waste of time. Complete waste of time. I do not think you need to do that. Am I wrong there? Were you did you guys play games like that outdoors?
Yeah, but if I'm going to do that, like you said, I need a shower.
Right.
Like, I can't just sit there all sweaty eating my dinner afterwards.
I think it's a complete waste of time. Truly. Truly. Did it a couple times when you were a kid? That's enough. We're good. All right? I'm here to eat and watch football. I'm not here to, you know, put a workout in. I'll work out in the morning. I'm a big in the first thing on Thanksgiving morning, go do something active. Go earn it.
Right. Set your day up.
Go set up. Go for a run. Do what you got to do. You want to play some football first thing in the morning? Fine. Playing at the actual event that you go to, whether you're visiting family, playing there, doing it an extreme enough physical activity, complete waste of time. You do not need to be playing football on Thanksgiving. You do not need to be doing that. I don't know if I'm rustling any feathers, if some people want to live and die by their godforsaken turkey bowl they play on the night of the on the evening or early afternoon of Thanksgiving. Fine. I don't think you need to do that. You age out of that when you're, you know, a couple days over 7 years old. That's it. There it is. As for the food, I'm in on everything. Steve Politino joined us last week. He said we don't need salad at Thanksgiving. I completely agree with him. You don't need salad at
Thanksgiving. There's no space for the salad.
But we're not a big salad. Thanksgiving does not have a major, it has salad, but it's not a major focal point. I mean, like the sweet potato casseroles, the mac and cheese, the rolls are crucial, the turkey, the stuffing,
I
gravy.
I love the sides. The spinach.
Yeah.
I like spinach, the green
absolutely.
Bean casserole.
Green bean
love
casserole is good. It's fine. There's nothing truly that I hate. And some people hate on the turkey. Dead wrong. Grow up. Eat the turkey.
I'm not crazy about the turkey, I'll be
honest. Grow up.
I like the turkey as part of the entire meal. But like if I were to eat turkey on itself, like by itself,
it's too dry. Put some gravy on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Put some gravy on it.
You gotta add things to the turkey to make it good.
Oh, yeah. You're not having it straight. That's fine. But I would say that most of the things at dinner are not overrated. Not overrated. Most of it is great.
That's the best part.
I think stuffing's fantastic. Yeah. I think turkey is great with the gravy and mixed in with other things. Sweet potato, fantastic.
Do you like the marshmallows on the top?
The sweet potato casserole?
I never understood the marshmallows because sweet potato
is a staple in my casserole.
Sweet potato is already very sweet. So why add the marshmallows, which is very sweet? I actually take the sweet potato, the marshmallow off.
Were you a turkey trot kid growing up?
Like running before Thanksgiving?
You know, like the, they do like events. They do it all around.
I never
turkey
did
trot,
an actual
people
turkey
run the day
trot,
out. It's like a 5K or a 10K or something like that?
No, I never did a turkey trot. I do go on runs.
There's a lot of people who judge people who do that. I judge the people who play football at the actual event. I like running. I've never done a turkey trot, admittedly. Never. Once. Unless I was a kid and I don't remember it. Never did. Because my high school, growing up, always played their rivalry football game at 10 a.m. on Thanksgiving. So we'd never do it. But into my adulthood, I have not turned into a turkey trotter. I've never done... The families do it. You know, it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't think... How do you judge it? It's the morning. Do whatever the hell you want in the morning. Comparatively to what? So I don't necessarily think it's a problem when families do that. I don't think you need to flaunt it in front of everybody. If you run 3.2 miles on a Thursday morning, I don't think we need to write home about it. But I like having an event. Who doesn't like to run with a crowd? That's the one thing. It's fun to run with a crowd. Holiday spirit,
or
it's
you
contagious.
Find the motivation to keep going,
it's
too.
Contagious. Yeah. I don't hate that at all. And there's nothing like getting a good workout in before you have a heinous meal.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like it. So I actually, for that reason and that reason alone, I'm for it. Christina Costanza texted me about it. She said, what about families who run 5Ks? If you don't do it, you don't do it. I never did it growing up. I admire that. I don't hate that. I just never did it growing up. Maybe I'll join one on a whim. Show up and sign up. Yeah, I'm not going to pay $50 to run 3 miles. I'm not going to do that.
In the Connecticut winter?
Connecticut. I like running outdoors. So keep that. I like running outdoors in the winter too. So I like when it's cold out and you could run, you know, hoodie, rocky it. But maybe I'll do one this year. Maybe I'll be the judge after that. What is that, a turkey trot? I'll turkey trot this year. See if I can figure it out.
There you go.
But if it's going to be $50 to run 3 miles, I'm not doing it. I could run 3 miles at home.
Yeah, right.
I'm good. And I like running, so I'm for it. But there's something about earning your meal that night.
Now, aren't those usually like the $50? Doesn't that usually go to a cause?
Now I'm going to look bad. Maybe. I don't know. I've never been to one. If it's for a charity, we can have a conversation. All right, I'm sorry. I have no idea. I just thought they pocketed it. I don't know. Maybe I just think the
if
worst.
If they do, then yeah, absolutely.
Maybe I think the worst of people. I have no idea. But if it is for a charity, my bad. I'll go do one this year, and I'll go pay for it. And I'd have to see confirmation that it's for charity. You know how some of these operations go, nonetheless. Damien Perez, Colin Russo, that was your Flagler Credit Union 5 and 5. Listen, every family has dreams, a vacation, new car, rainy day fund. With a Boost savings account from Flagler Credit Union, your dreams can become reality. Earn up to 3.0 annual percentage yield with no minimum balance, no monthly fees, and easy access to your funds. Whether you're saving for life's big moments or everyday expenses, a Boost savings account helps you reach your goals faster. Open a Boost savings account today and start boosting your future at Flagler Credit Union. Flagler Credit Union is the official credit union of Florida Atlantic Athletics. Damien Perez, Colin Russo will send you off into your Tuesday after this. It's Russo and Rizzo. Taking a time out. ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
No Mike Rizzo in the house. Colin Russo in the interim. We got Damien Perez behind the glass. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. We got a couple things to do here. First things first, I know it's a little early in the week to do it, but now that we've seen everybody play in week 12, it's time for us to figure out a top 10. Let's do our top 10 rankings, power rankings, NFL, presented by Good Week Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Went from unranked to the 14th team in the country. They were more motivated going into that game.
Who's moving down?
Can they have a good season after this? Maybe.
It's time for Russo and Rizzo's College Football Top 10 Poll. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
All right, Damien, you're going to do this with me. Our top 10 ranking presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Check them out today. All right, we got a couple things to do. So we got no Mike Rizzo making this with us, so he's either going to have to be immensely disappointed when he sees this next week, but this is how it's going to go. We got to do it because we're not hearing from Mike the rest of the week. Week 13's top ranking. What last week looked like was this. We had the Rams at number one. We had the Broncos at number two. We had the Patriots at number three. We had the Eagles at number four. We had the Colts at number five. The Seahawks at number six. Bills at 7, Bears at 8, Niners at 9, Lions at 10, and the first two teams out, three teams out, were Tampa, the Packers, and Pittsburgh. All right, a couple things off the bat. Philadelphia losing, they're going to be moving down. The Colts losing, they're going to be moving down. Kansas City, are they going to be moving up? Tampa Bay, where are they going to be after losing again, yet again, to the Rams?
And Packers, the Baker Mayfield injury.
Packers are probably moving up. So there's a couple things we're going to have to do here. But I think the top 10 should stay intact in terms of what team's going to be around. So let's see here. Number one, I don't think anything changes. Let's start with number one because I think number one should be the Rams. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Not even a question. Not even a question. It's the best team in the league at the moment.
Best team.
Who are you putting it to, the Broncos or the Patriots? I would put the Broncos here. I know the Patriots beat the Bengals. Fine. No Jamar Chase. No Joe Burrow. I can't reward that. The Broncos were on bye.
I would put the Broncos because of their defense.
And I put the Broncos, too, because they just beat the Chiefs.
So Broncos, if it comes down to coaching, I think they're pretty much on par.
Right.
Offensively, they're on par.
I like Drake Maye more than I like Bo Nix. But I think everything else, I think defensively and fourth quarter comebacks, a little bit more mojo around the Broncos. I think that top three doesn't change. Rams, Broncos at two. Patriots are going to be at three. All right. From there, number four. We had Philadelphia here last week, and below them we had the Colts. We had Seattle at six. I would say if there's a team that's going to be moving, Bills were at seven. Bills, I think, are moving out. But Seattle, I think, moves up here.
I was going to say, I think Seattle should jump them.
All right. I don't hate that. Seattle Seahawks are going to be at number 4 in our top 10 power rankings at the NFL for week 13. Rams 1, Broncos 2, Patriots 3, Seahawks 4. All right, so let's go from there. All right, a couple teams that we're going to have to take out because the next three we have essentially are Philadelphia, Colts, and the Bills. Ooh. Bears were at 8, Niners were at 9.
And you have to reward the Bills.
And the Lions were at 10. Got to reward the Bears. I completely agree with you. Now, do you put the Bears at 5? Is that too high? They're 8-3.
Would that be an overreaction? I mean, do you think they're the best team in their division despite their record?
I would still put Philadelphia at 5. I mean, Philadelphia lost to Dallas. They blew a 21-point lead. I still lean that Philadelphia is a top 16. They've beaten too many good teams. They've beaten the Lions. They've beaten the Rams. They've beaten Tampa Bay. They've beaten the Chiefs. I understand putting the Bears here, but they get the same record.
Now, the Eagles did just blow a 21-0 lead.
I know. Want to put Bears here at 5 and then Eagles at 6?
It's tough.
Let's do that because they play each other this week. Bears-Eagles. Let's do Bears, then Eagles. Bears at 5. How about that?
We'll look like geniuses if the Bears win.
Yeah, we will not. I think we will look like idiots when Philadelphia wins 27-7. Nonetheless. All right, so that's what we got there. Eagles are going to be at 6. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
All right. Now, Buffalo is 7-4, but it's an ugly 7-4, no doubt, because they lost to the Texans. Does Buffalo, who was at 7 last week, are they still in the top 10? I would say, if anything, they round out 10, if anything.
I think they have to be in the top 10. I do agree with moving them down.
We'll see. Maybe they're the first team
They
out.
Did play the hardest defense in the league.
Yeah, they haven't played that great, though, because they're 2 weeks removed from that Miami loss.
And C.J. Stroud was out for that game.
Good point. I think they're out. I think they're first team out here, but we'll get to that in a minute. All right, we're at number 7. So some of the teams that we had here last week, the Colts, the Niners, and the Lions.
Out of those three, I got the Lions over the Colts. It's something to be said. The Colts do not fare well with away games. They love playing at home, and they suffer when they have to travel.
I could hear this. It's close. I could hear it.
Because it's between them two. I don't know if you would put the 49ers over one of them two.
Yeah. I mean, the Colts lost to the Chiefs in Arrowhead. How much can you punish them for that? I would say Colts go 7, Lions go 8. Am I crazy for that? They got a game better record. They're 8-3.
You have to reward the season that the Colts have had.
Yeah. Colts at 7, Lions at 8. I agree with that. 100%.
Similar build, though.
100%. Now, the Niners won yesterday. I wouldn't say it looked the prettiest thing in the world. They were at 9 last week. I don't think they move. I don't think they move. Do you agree with that?
Niners, I'm not the highest on the Niners, if I'm going to be honest.
I don't either, but they're 8-4. You got to give them a credit.
I think the Bills would beat the Niners if they play tomorrow. Niners have benefited from a very easy schedule.
But here's the thing. But the Bills have lost recently. They've lost bad recently.
Right.
That was a bad loss against the Texans. That was an even worse loss against the
And they have
the
a loss against Miami. Yep.
So I would say Niners at 9. And you know what I'm actually going to put a 10? I'll put Green Bay. Green Bay plays the Lions. So we know for a fact that the winner of that game is going to take the leg up next week.
So you're bouncing the Bills.
Yeah. I don't love it. Packers at 10. The Lions are at 8. Niners are at 9. But if you're going to do that, I would say Bills outside comparatively to the Packers. I got questions about the Bills. I got questions about them. You got to punish them. They were 7 last week. They lost a bad game.
Yeah, it seems like if Josh Allen isn't Superman out there, they really struggle.
Yep. Struggle. And then Tampa's moving down continuously. Pittsburgh's moving down continuously. Our first team out was going to be the Bills. Now, who do you put after that? There's a couple directions you could go because the Bills are going to be our first team out. You get the Chargers sitting there, and you got the, you're going to like this, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
How about
there.
The Cowboys?
We're putting Jacksonville before we put the Cowboys. I'm not listening to that. Jaguars are going at 12. Are you okay with that? Do you object?
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that.
You okay 7-4,
I'm okay with that.
You're 7-4.
Yeah.
And they beat the Chargers head-to-head 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So you can't put the Chargers there.
You can't, yep. Because that would be the other team that should be in the hunt.
Then after this, after the Jags, then you put in maybe the Dallas, Baltimore, Houston, Pittsburgh round.
Baltimore? We didn't even mention Baltimore.
Baltimore played terrible against the Browns. They played terrible against the Jets. They won both games.
And I don't think Lamar Jackson is 100% healthy.
Yeah, he's not. I'm not high on them right now. We're okay. So it looks like this. Our Week 13 Top 10, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Rams at number 1. Broncos at number 2. The Patriots at number 3. The Seattle Seahawks at 4. Chicago Bears, high, at 5. Eagles are at 6. Colts are at 7. Do we like that, despite them all having 8 wins? Well, the Colts and the Eagles just recently lost, and the Bears have not. That's the only reason we're putting them there, and they all play in big games
the
this week.
The only one that can burn us is that Bears pick at 5.
Lions are at 8, because I'd make the argument Eagles, Colts, Lions are all better than the Bears.
But you have to reward
you
that 8.
You got to reward how you're playing, yeah. Lions are going to be at 8, Niners at 9, Packers at 10, Bills 11, Jaguars 12. You hate that?
Yeah, no, spot on.
Got to be above Houston. Houston's going to be a spot behind, so is Pittsburgh.
And Jacksonville's similar to Chicago. You know, you have to reward how they've been playing as of lately.
Absolutely.
That was without Brian Thomas.
I like it. That's our top 10. That's Damian Prez, Colin Russo. Go download the ESPN South Florida app today where you can listen to all of Russo and Rizzo, all of Theoretically Speaking, which you can hear 2 to 4 weekdays, all of our local programming from Inner Miami English and Spanish broadcasts, and the Florida Panthers on their quest for a three-peat. It's all in one spot. You get your South Florida sports beat in one spot on the app, free to download. It's the ESPN South Florida app. Go today. Now, Damian, I got a 740 flight. I got a 740 flight back to Connecticut tonight. And I'm used to be Mr. Let's show up early to the airport, not play any games. But this is a PBI flight.
Oh.
Leaves at 7:40.
You're cruising, man.
Cruising. What time do you think I need to walk in that building?
You said 7:40 is your flight? I think if you get there by 6:30, you'll be fine. You probably get there earlier. Like, leave here, go directly there. But
I think I'm going to drive my car back. I live not between here and the airport, but I live close.
PBI is the easiest airport.
Yeah,
to get
I want to bring the car back. So I think I'm going to bring the car back and then I have to go grab my bags and I'm going to leave.
But you're all packed, ready to roll.
Yeah, I'm ready to rock.
So you should be fine.
Walk in the door by 6:40. I think I'm fine. Yep. I think you walk in the door at PBI, you're at your gate by 6:50.
Now, 7:40 is the time they start the boarding, correct?
No, 7:40 is the time they depart.
They close. Okay. So boarding's probably around.
You arrive 25, 30 minutes before boarding, you're fine.
Right.
And I'm not boarding first group. We're boarding.
Now, you can only do that with PBI, though.
Yeah. Don't play any games. But I think that's how I'm going to do it. So I'm going to hustle out of here the second the show's done. Damian, we appreciate you keeping us up over the airwaves today. That's Damian Prez. Colin Russo, if you missed any of the show today, go listen to Russo and Rizzo on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. No Mike Rizzo today, but I'll be back at it tomorrow with Christian Cat for both shows from 2 to 6 p.m., so stay tuned for that. Should be a whole lot of fun. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused. Enjoy the holidays. If this is the last time you'll hear us, we'll be around. We'll be continuing to do this through Son Rizzo all the time, 4 to 6 p.m. ESPN 106.3.